even though he called in today, is going to do a rerun tonight. He's got to take care of his own child and her own health care. So you're going to hear some of the best of Bob Kincaid following me right now. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
Violence and political instability in the country. He will also go ahead with plans to hold elections. In southern Afghanistan, a senior British commander is criticizing recent operations by American special forces because of the resulting amount of civilian casualties. The British leader says this makes it difficult to win over the local population. In Afghanistan today, a summit with more than 600 Pakistani and Afghan tribal leaders began. The four-day gathering will address security problems in the border areas where the Taliban and Al-Qaeda have regained strength. In western Baghdad today, tens of thousands of Shiite pilgrims are gathering to honor an 8th century imam. Compared to previous years, the violence so far has been minor. Two people have died and at least 15 pilgrims have been crushed. Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki met with Iranian leaders today in Tehran. Iran says that the Iraqi violence would end if the U.S. withdraws its troops. In this morning's press conference, President Bush said today that Iranians who smuggle bombs to Iraqi insurgents will, quote, face consequences if they keep doing that. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40, because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
A moderate earthquake measuring 4.5 struck the Los Angeles area early this morning. It was centered about 30 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles in Chatsworth. There were no reports of injuries or damage other than items falling from shelves in homes and businesses. According to the latest U.S. Census Bureau statistics, whites are now a minority in nearly 1 out of 10 counties in the U.S. A spokesperson for a Washington, D.C.-based population research agency says there is some culture shock and predicts it will continue building momentum. In July, retailers report sales were weak across the board. Teen and specialty retailers were the hardest hit. Luxury retailers did better than analysts had expected. Campbell Soup may sell its Godiva chocolate business so the company can focus on healthier food items. Godiva brings in $500 million a year. Foreign tire sales. A tire importer has announced the recall of 255,000 tires made in China. They may pose a safety risk. Johnson & Johnson is battling the American Red Cross over the Red Cross symbol. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $71.59 a barrel, and on Wall Street, the second worst trading session of the year. At today's close, the Dow was down 387 points, NASDAQ down 56, S&P 500 down 44. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome to Wednesday. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, of course, this is, you know, at least one day a week, this is the Cathedral of Common Sense. And I'm Brother Bob Kincaid, because you know what Wednesdays mean. Wednesdays mean prayer meeting edition. See, we've got a little sound bite that we usually run in there, but I guess we didn't run it. So things like that happen from time to time. When you were a kid and the fair or the carnival or whatever came to town, and you were little, I'm not talking about when you were old enough to really make heads and tails of things, but did you ever get to go into the Hall of Mirrors? Because this is a lot like that these days. This is one of those days. Because it became terrifying. You'd think you were walking into a, and bang, you bump into a mirror. You back up and you try again, bang, it's another mirror. And nothing is quite as it seems. For instance, just for the fun of it, how about this? From the Associated Press, a California woman whose doctor says marijuana is the only medicine keeping her alive is not immune from federal prosecution on drug charges, according to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. You know, that Circuit Court of Appeals that the idiots, the drop-dead stupid conservatives constantly say, that's the liberalist court in America. They're all communists. Now dig it. Angel Raich is 41 years old. She's got a brain tumor. She's got scoliosis. She's got chronic nausea, vomits regularly. And those are only the big ailments. She's got a bunch of other ones. Her doctors have told her that the only thing standing between her and death is for her to smoke a little marijuana or eat a little marijuana every couple of hours. And so she does so. She follows her doctor's orders. That's the case that was before the United States Circuit Court for the Ninth Circuit. And they said today that even though the state of California, whatever have the conservatives and their states' rights, states' rights, states' rights, we want everybody to carry a gun down Main Street and shoot everybody that scares them, states' rights. We want to make sure that only a certain class of people can vote. The rest of them, we'll issue them a literacy test by asking them to sign their name with a ballpoint pen on some wax paper. Ain't be clever. States' rights! Not this time, though, because the state of California has determined that there is a medical use for marijuana. And interestingly, it did so based upon, craziness, common sense. And the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals today said, hey, lady, you're 41. Your brain has a baseball growing in it. We want you to suffer, honey. Because the Bush administration, as it turns out, do you remember during the Clinton scandal when people would come out and say, we're tired of this drip, drip, drip? Well, there's a lot of drip, drip, drip coming out of the U.S. Justice Department right now. And one of the things that is coming into play is this complaint from the Bush administration that we were giving them perfectly good cases and they wouldn't move on them. In Nevada, it turned out they were giving them pornography cases. They're looking, it's Las Vegas, and they're selling dirty pictures of naked women. Well, this is the appropriate use of the federal prosecutorial power. My God in heaven. And yeah, I'm sure for Angel Raich, it's got to be like a walk through the Hall of Mirrors where nothing makes sense and no direction is quite what it seems to be. She's a mother. She's trying to hold on to life so that she can continue to be a mother to two little children. And the United States Circuit Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit rubber stamped the Alberto Gonzalez Justice Department's demand that they be able to prosecute her for trying to stay alive. Well, just like states' rights, when it's inconvenient or necessary, the right to life, at least of the living, goes out the window, too. You ever wonder what it's like to be one of those conservatives? What's it like to think that a wad of tissue has a right to life, but a 41-year-old mother of two doesn't? I mean, do you think it makes their little brains ache? Do they just kind of fizzle and smoke comes out their ear? Because their entire lives, these conservatives, is nothing, 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 nothing but hypocrisy. Come on, Mabel, we're going down to the Right to Life movement. No, and don't forget to write our congressman and tell him to prosecute them 41-year-olds with the brain tumors for smoking the marijuana. Hey, you know, you might want to bring a gun. Them things can get ugly down there. Sometimes them peacenik pacifists like to show up, and, you know, they're threatening and need to be shot. Ms. Raich says that she reckons she'll continue to use medical marijuana because, quote, I'm sure not going to let them kill me. Oh, my God. Those are her words. Of course, she was weeping when she was saying those words. How tiny, how infinitesimally small one must feel when George Bush and Alberto Gonzalez bring the entire prosecutorial weight of the entire federal system to bear on one sick woman. How tiny she must feel. But how tiny we all are when that kind of crap, that kind of garbage is allowed to stand. But yeah, tonight's a night in the fun house because you can start there and you go, oh no, I just bumped into a wall and it's a 41-year-old woman who's being prosecuted for trying to stay alive for her two children. And you go, okay, so we'll go in another direction. Although he earned two Purple Hearts for fighting in Iraq, Marine Jonathan Schultz was rejected by a Minnesota VA hospital when he needed urgent treatment. Schultz was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder by his family physician. He was prescribed Ambien, Valium, and Paxil, but they didn't help. When Schultz began to feel suicidal, he turned to the VA hospital in St. Cloud, Minnesota, about an hour outside Minneapolis. His father and stepmother both insist they heard Schultz tell the intake nurse he was suicidal, but instead of admitting him, the hospital told Schultz to go home and call back the next day. Schultz killed himself. No, it's the Hall of Mirrors for us tonight. And that's only the beginning. Because, like I said, the unraveling of the Gonzalez story turns out that instead of, you know, doing the actual criminal business of the country, they were trying to offload political the throat slitting to these U.S. attorneys who didn't want to play ball. Apparently, one did in California. We're going to prosecute her. She's a smoking that marijuana. So that's where we begin tonight in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Come on down. Get your absolution, absolution, absolutely free, right here on America's Liberal Voice, the head-on radio network, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Hallelujah.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Beth, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Heck of a way to start out. A young Marine, home from the war, messed up in the head, goes to a friend's basement, puts an electrical cord around his neck while clutching a picture of his one-year-old daughter, and hangs himself. Heck of a way to start out a show that appears to be based somewhere in the Hall of Mirrors. But you know what? I guess to somebody in the VA, well, you know, that's just, it's one Marine. It's one Marine. Oopsie. Catherine Paddock at Medical News Today, in a story published Tuesday, notes a new U.S. study has found that nearly a third of war veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq who were treated by Veterans Affairs between 2001 and 2005 returned with mental health difficulties. It's a study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. Researchers from University of California, San Francisco, and San Francisco VA Medical Center reviewed data on 103,788 veterans. Okay, I'd say that should be a statistically valid population group. Half of them were National Guard and Reserve. Half of them were just under the age of 30. 33% minority, 13% female. Of the total, 31%, 32,010, had some form of measurable mental health problem. When they broadened the definition to include psychosocial behavioral problems as well as mental health, one quarter, 25%, of the 103,788 veterans who returned from Iraq or Afghanistan to be treated by the VA in the four-year period received at least one mental health diagnosis. A fourth of them were diagnosed with two or more mental health problems. Post-traumatic stress disorder was the most common mental health problem. I have a feeling, I have a sneaking feeling, I have a sick feeling, I have a creeping, wicked feeling that there's going to be a whole lot more Jonathan Schultz stories for Anderson Cooper to be covering on CNN. Anderson's sort of a grief hound, isn't he? And the thing is, this is, we've got to learn to not think in linear fashion. These are not linear items. This is more like the vibration on the edge of the web that reaches all the way to the center. And by God, if there's anything you can, if there is a metaphor or a simile that you can use to describe the Bush administration, spider's web is certainly one of them. Because, as I noted, we are finding out little by little, bit by bit, that in fact, a lot of this nastiness involving the Bush administration and U.S. attorney firings. Well, it's disgusting, isn't it? It turns out that there was a loyalty oath, or not a loyalty oath, but a loyalty inquiry that is as part of the process of looking for these U.S. attorneys to purge. One of the fundamental questions posed was, how loyal are they to George Bush and Alberto Gonzalez? Now, I'm no Pollyanna. I understand that politics in the United States is blood sport. And I understand that political loyalty is very important. Back when they were trying to get some form of health care through for the American people back in the mid-90s, the Democratic Party showed profound disloyalty to its own Democratic presidential administration in not supporting it and being suckered in by the insurance lobby. But lo and behold, sure enough, that was the headline today in the New York Times: loyalty to Bush and Gonzalez was factor in prosecutors' firings, email shows. A message from William Kelly to D. Kyle Sampson, who was chief of staff for Gonzalez, and we thought he had fallen on his sword the other day for Gonzalez. Turns out he didn't. He's still at Justice. He's got a job while he continues to, quote-unquote, look for work. But that email put in motion, according to the New York Times, a plan to fire the U.S. attorneys that had been hatched 22 months earlier by Ms. Myers in between notes to George Bush telling him how cool, groovy, neat, keen, hep cat he was. 3 days after the email, the seven prosecutors were canned. And, of course, Sampson, the chief of staff, was part and parcel of an inquiry as to whether or not the prosecutors in question were sufficiently loyal to George Bush. And again, I'm not a Pollyanna. I do understand the loyalty aspect. And it applies, to the trade representative and the secretary of the paper clips and staples. It's a different animal altogether, however, when you're talking about federal prosecutors. Because federal prosecutors, being lawyers, are supposed to be bound by the rules of professional conduct or the canons of ethics, or you get the idea. And a prosecutor in particular has an especial ethical duty that goes beyond that of ordinary lawyers, that he or she prosecute based upon the law, based upon the facts, and without any rancor or without any malice or any ill will, and frankly, without regard to political concerns. In rating the prosecutors, Mr. Sampson factored in whether they, quote, exhibited loyalty to the president and attorney general. Now, this isn't speculation. This is straight off of documents that have come from the Justice Department. There was one email where Mr. Sampson questioned the loyalty of Carol C. Lamb, federal prosecutor in San Diego. Mr. Sampson wrote, has ODAG, that's the Office of the Deputy Attorney General, has ODAG ever called Carol Lamb and woodshedded her re-immigration enforcement? Has anyone? They said Sampson made the claim that Paul Charlton in Arizona and Daniel Bogdan in Nevada were, quote, unwilling to take good cases we have presented to them. Like I said, those turned out to be porno prosecutions. Why are we surprised at this? Does this present any sort of moral conundrum or dilemma to us? Have we forgotten that in the days before 9/11 and immediately thereafter, the main focus and goal and laser-like precision of all the prosecutorial weight of the United States government was directed to Tommy Chong and some hookers in New Orleans? I haven't forgotten that. I remember it very well. At a time when the United States should have been looking to figure out the whys and the wherefores of a profound international hatred for us, at a time when the Phoenix Memo was being authored and set up the chain of command at the FBI, which also is run by the Department of Justice, and which memo went absolutely nowhere. You know, you remember the Phoenix Memo, right? This was the memo that said, guys, we've got people who are foreign nationals going to flight training schools and they only want to learn how to fly planes but not land them. Yeah. At that point in time, the Department of Justice under the Bush administration, back then under Crisco John Ashcroft, and back then, probably at the behest of Alberto Gonzalez, or, you know, there's so many creative people out there. His new nickname, I just saw it a few minutes ago, Alberto Gonzalez. At that point in time, and it is enough to inspire weeping for your nation, at that point in time, the focus of Crisco John Ashcroft and some federal prosecutor in California was on making sure that they put Tommy Chong in prison for running an online business called chongsbongs.com. And heady with their success, they went down to New Orleans where, I'm shocked, I tell you, to find out that there is prostitution in New Orleans, Louisiana. And not a damn thing has changed in the Hall of Mirrors. Some federal prosecutor who apparently escaped the hit list, who apparently was exhibiting loyalty to the Bush administration, and Alberto Gonzalez argued a case and won against a 41-year-old woman whose brain is rotting inside her skull and whose children look at her every day and say, Mommy, we love you. Please don't leave us, Mommy. Well, honey, Mommy's going to try not to. But the government of the people, by the people, and for the people wants to put Mommy in prison for trying to stay alive. Oh, I've got a bad feeling about this show. This is not off to a good start. I hate it when it starts out this way. But it's all part of the same cloth. And how do you feel? How do you feel knowing that you, who are a sovereign member of this polity, this country, this government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The incredible power of that government is being brought to bear not on monsters who want to mass murder people, but it's being brought to bear on a 41-year-old woman with a tumor growing in her brain and her spine curved to the point that she lives in a constant hell of pain. This is Wednesday night. This is prayer meeting, so it is more than appropriate that we should remember that the right wing is constantly reminding us that this is a Christian nation. Well, those Christians in that Christian nation who wholeheartedly support the torture of Angel Raich can bite me. What do you think about it? The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. You can call in and say your piece, or for that matter, you can email bob@headonradio.com. Either way, you will be heard, because America's liberal voice is your voice, and America's liberal voice is the horn. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Back. Thank you for being around. Thank you for sticking around. And thank you for your thoughts as you contemplate them, as you share them. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network. And you know, I should remind you, because I'm very bad about I can't rely on my 40-year-old steel trap mind anymore. I've got to make note cards and stuff for myself. If you're listening, any of the streams you're listening to, you need to be aware that this is a 24-hour affair. Our shows go 24 hours. When we're not absolutely live, one of the previous programs that has run will be running. So just bear that in mind. This is a 24-hour network. We go to the phones. David is calling from Tennessee. Hey, David, thanks for calling.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully. It's warm and it's nice, and I'm loving that. And I've got some stuff I want to offer to you about our prosecutors, and I certainly have some stuff about the VA. But I've got one little quickie that I want to put out there as a possibility. I don't know that it's fact, because the case of that woman in California being prosecuted for seeking minor aid and comfort from marijuana, there's an additional bit of disgust and dismay and horror that we should all remember. And I say this because a young man that I grew up next door to in East Nashville, and we met each other before we were the age of two, and I was a pallbearer for him when we were 56, and he died of brain tumor. They were aggressive, and from diagnosis to death, it was less than 30 days. It sounds as if this woman that you're speaking of in California has a slower growing, less aggressive situation. But for anybody that wants to think about denying this woman marijuana, and all marijuana is going to do for that woman, there's no cure in marijuana, folks. It's going to give her a little analgesic effect, and it's going to cause her to want to eat small amounts of food which she would normally not eat. And she's not going to be able to do it very long, even with the aid of marijuana. We're not talking about a woman that's going to smoke big bags of marijuana every day and laugh and do helicopter dances in her living room listening to Bob Marley records for the next 40 years, laughing at the government. She wants to retch a little less, eat a little more, so she can say good morning 30 or 40 more times to children she's given birth to. That's what George Bush and Gonzalez want to deny her.
Precisely. Yeah, she's not, you know, she's not on the back of anybody's Harley riding up and down the Pacific Coast Highway, you know, yipping it up.
Not riding up down at, you know, 101, flipping off cops, and going online to buy Bonnaroo tickets. She wants to be able to eat a little something today so that her major organs won't fail tomorrow. So when we're talking about making the woman's last, let's be generous, 90 days maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. But there's
very long.
There's something deeper here, too, as well, because the right wing and the cons are always screaming, especially about the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, that they're activist judges.
Oh, I know. And
yeah, I wish to goodness the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal was an activist court, because an activist judge, the way that they are defined by the right wing, would have said, you know, this is inhumane, this is bestial, this is sick, this is twisted. You, U.S. attorney, get out of my courtroom and don't come back until you've got a decent case to bring me.
You know, the Republican Party and their issues about the human condition, life, is all built around, from their standpoint, of enforcing depravity and pain. They can't enjoy life because of the missions they've signed on to. So rather than enjoy life with a drink or sex with someone that's attracted to them, no matter the gender, it crawls out of them after decades of denial. It crawls out of them as depravity. And that woman out there, denying that woman a little comfort, reminds me of the Inquisitioners. It reminds me of some cardinal in a hand-sewn red robe taking a priest aside and saying, no, young brother, no, that's not that person screaming for mercy. That's the demon in that person screaming for mercy. We're doing God's work by making her life or his life sheer torture. Now let's up the ante. That's what that's about.
I don't know who the U.S. attorney in this particular case is, and I don't know the procedural history of it. David,
he'll be in Washington in 18 months. Don't worry about it. Bush will put him in as one of his last appointments.
Well, how does this person get up in the morning and look in the mirror knowing that, because, and this is something that I have ruminated on a good bit. There are a lot of poor people out there. A lot of those poor people are poor because they're poorly educated in the first place. Or maybe they weren't gifted with great sense, or perhaps they started, their ladder of life started in a hole, and they're trying to get up to ground level. Now, as a prosecutor, as a federal prosecutor, this person gets up every day and goes out, and for the most part, unless we're talking about, you know, people hustling steroids to ball players or white-collar criminals who are going to go to Club Fed, for the most part, this federal prosecutor gets up every morning and goes out and screws up poor people's lives. Now, this is Wednesday night. This is prayer meeting, so I think it's a suitable topic. How on earth does a human being who measures him or herself as any degree human get up every day and go and just crap on people for a living? What kind of country sanctions that and calls that honor?
And attaches themselves to what they have as a version of Christianity. You know, their party trumpets that day in, day out, constantly, 24/7. You know, they're going after her, but a year or two ago, before Abramoff took his fall, he could place one phone call and stop a prosecutor, have the prosecutor fired, because in Guam and in the Marianas, where companies that were paying Abramoff off wanted to continue to screw workers and do the Made in USA trick, and somebody was saying, wait a minute, these people are horrific. They're doing everything in the world that's bad. And the prosecutor was, oops. It was the first of the nine that the Bush White House has fired. I don't know if that one's come to you yet, but it's as ugly and as direct and as clear and as horrible as it can get. You know, they're going to make sure that the guy can screw 150 workers, they can chain them to a sewing machine in Marianas. They're going to make sure that continues. Oh, they're going to stop that woman from violating the law. That we decide that really matters about smoking pot.
That's about the size of it. And bear in mind the cop out. I know what the cop out is, David. This sleazy federal prosecutor, this Bush appointee, will say, "Well, I'm only upholding the laws that the legislative body has passed. It's not for me to comment on whether the law is right or wrong. I just have to apply them."
And it's going to be what I refer to as the Grunstedt rule. My fourth grade teacher, a total witch from hell, Mrs. Gonsteth, used to say, if I let you do that, then the whole class will do that. So I must bust this woman who can barely move, or every school child in California will bring three big doobies for lunch every day. Oh, I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. Let's talk about the punch.
How do they get away with that kind of reasoning?
We let them. We're not out with torches and pitchforks. We haven't elected enough people to call them on it. We haven't invested 30 years of a media blip to convince America about a pack of lies that the Republican Party stands on as if it were granite. In case,
for pity's sake, we've got a war on terror going on, supposedly. I mean, that's what we're told about. Be afraid, America. Be very afraid. The evil brown people are going to kill you. And we got a U.S. attorney somewhere in the San Francisco Bay Area who is flipping out about some of Marin County's finest.
There we have it.
I don't get it.
I don't think we ever will. And if you don't get that, this business of these VA hospitals. You know that woman that denied services to that young man?
Yeah.
With the things that are rolling down, and I'm making a guess, but I'm willing to make an assertion that I don't think would be too far off. I'll bet you anything that a Republican lackey somewhere in that VA administration came up with a spreadsheet that said, oh, let's see, Minnesota, that's a healthy state. Mrs. Cornwallis, I really think you should, based on averages, there should only be a disturbed patient admitted. There should only be six of those admitted per four-week time period. Don't be surprised if she told that guy to call back because she wanted to win the toaster for only having admitted four patients in that four-week time period when she wanted him checked in the next day. Don't be surprised if it's that petty and it's that horrific and it's that ugly. Because this pressure from the top down to make it work, just like that educational guy made no child behind left, he made it work in Houston, therefore we got it rammed up one orifice and down the other nationwide. Make it work.
And of course, workers being who workers are, it'll be the lowest ranking person in the chain of command who will get toasted over slow coals over things like that. It's not going to be the head of the VA. It's not going to be the guy who came up with the spreadsheet. It's going to be
It won't even be that woman's supervisor. And already that story is already broken. And today I took one for the team. Hey out there, friends of Bob, I took one for the team. I listened to the Flimball today. Part of his spew today was all of these pretend crazies that are angry because now the National Guard is asking them for more than they thought they'd have to give, and they're really miffed because they're not.
So the 50% of the 108,733 people that were surveyed by UCAL San Francisco.
They're malingerers because they're not going to just get college money out of their National Guard service, and they're trying to find a way to work the system. And if you think that's bad, I got another one for you.
Well, stop a minute, David. Dadgummit. Not you. You did take one for the team because that's one of those where the stuff starts coming out of your ears, and you know you feel like Chekhov with the helmet off in Star Trek Wrath of Khan, and the captain, it was terrible, he put things in our ears, and they just make this stuff up. There's no data to support the idea that these people are malingerers. There's all kinds of data to support that they are as much victims as anybody on earth of what happens when you use a profoundly powerful military for profoundly wrong reasons.
and this $25.9 million a year gas bag blowhard gets behind a microphone and says that they're just made up crazy because they don't want to go back?
Gas bags like Flimball want to see them get a good stiff speech from a top sergeant, 60 days worth of Xanax, and a plane ticket to Baghdad. Get your ass back in the line, soldier. You can walk. You can pull a trigger. Get yourself back out there. There's Hodges to drop, sonny. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And if that isn't bad enough, you know, all of these National Guard troops that have been pulled in from all of these other sources, it gets lost over. They're going to Baghdad from somewhere. They're going to be there, but we're pulling them out of this. And so they're saying, well, now then, if you've done two tours in Iraq, you know what the likely outcome is for a lot of National Guard people? You don't get sent home after two tours. You get extended again, and you go to Bosnia. But you don't get combat pay. Have a nice day. Oh, don't go outside the barracks. There are too many landmines out there. So do another tour in Bosnia after two tours in Iraq. The representative, a newly elected representative, I've forgotten the gentleman's name from Minnesota, has been really spilling his guts to that Patrick Murphy that was just elected from Pennsylvania that's got a real grip on it. Those guys are going to make some noise.
Okay, well, let's back up for just a second. We don't have a lot of time left, but I want to work through this real quick because if no one else hears this, at least listeners to the Horn hear this. And you know, that's the fun thing about conversation radio, about liberal talk. You know, we don't do marching orders. We process. We're liberals. We like to think. So if Flush Flimball says that these people are made up crazy and the only reason they're saying they're crazy is because they don't want to go back to Iraq, doesn't it beg us, David, to ask why they don't want to go back to Iraq? And isn't the answer, it's god-awful over there. It's miserable. We have no business being over there. I hate it. I don't want to get slaughtered for no good reason.
And
he's calling them malingerers. And so don't we get to ask the question, David, why does Rush Limbaugh hate the troops?
I've known for some time why he, you know, he doesn't, it's not that he hates them. He hasn't gotten that far. He doesn't care. Troops, schmoops. They don't play golf in the Dominican Republic. They're not likely to drop by for me to eat a Viagra and stare at their rear. He doesn't care about them.
Well, it's about time that we start calling these people on this stuff.
The other thing that he's really hot and heavy on, and you, having a background in politics but par excellence and some legal parlance laying around, he did 30 minutes, two different days. There is no reason for anyone to be concerned about 8 or 9 prosecutors being fired for any reason. That quote. The Clinton White House fired 92 and nobody said a word. In comedy, timing is everything. I would like to hear off air my good friend Bob Kincaid let us all understand that prosecutors, if you're in the wrong party, the day before Inauguration Day, I think you do two things. You clean your desk out and you type out the letter that you offer in resignation, because everybody knows the incoming party is going to clean house on cushy federal jobs for PAL.
Right, and you sign it and you leave the date open and say, put a post-it on it that says, Dear Mr. President, please fill in the date at your convenience.
Exactly. And that is not being spoken about in the right-wing hate-speak echo chamber. They're saying that Clinton fired 92, we only fired 8. Why should the liberal media be on us like a cheap suit for doing one-tenth of what they did? Oh.
Wonder how many ditto monkeys have swallowed that whole.
Swallowed it whole, asked for more, and didn't inquire about a reach around. Oops, for the prisoner. Sorry, boys.
Family program. Come on.
Family program. Well, maybe the nice people won't know what that means. Gee willikers. Well, it's the top of the hour. I've been loud and passionate and all kinds of, anyway, I got to get out of the way and let the real.
And everything that makes for great conversation radio. David, thank you very kindly.
You are too kind. Best of luck for everything you do the rest of the week.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later.
All right. So we're coming up to the top of the hour. Now, you're familiar, many of you are, I know, with a wonderful liberal program out in L.A., Harrison on the Edge. And we will be talking to Harrison out of the top of the hour news. I have a soft spot in my heart, having had it done to me too, for anybody who is doing good work, getting good numbers, and for reasons that have nothing to do with the quality of broadcast, gets whacked. Well, Harrison got whacked, and we're going to talk about it when we come back, as I said, out of the news. You're listening to America's liberal voice, your voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez now has a Republican in Congress calling for his dismissal. Senator John Sununu joined the Democratic calls today for Gonzalez to be fired, since controversy broke out after 8 U.S. attorneys were ousted from their jobs. Hours earlier, President Bush expressed his confidence in Gonzalez. In Baghdad, violence has gone down since the launch of a security crackdown 1 month ago. That's according to the spokesman for U.S. forces in Iraq, Major General William Caldwell. Though he said that all indicators are very positive right now, Caldwell cautioned everyone against to have patience and diligence. Patience seems in short supply on Capitol Hill as the Senate voted to consider a Democratic plan to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. Republican opponents blocked two previous attempts at debating similar resolutions, and they vow to block this one. North of Baghdad into Crete, the bodies of Saddam Hussein's two sons and a grandson have been exhumed. They were reburied near Hussein's grave. Hussein's sons were killed in a gun battle with U.S. troops in 2003. And Iraq's President Jalal Talabani returned to his Kurdish hometown today. He spent the past 17 days in a hospital in Jordan after he collapsed in northern Iraq. His doctors said the 73-year-old suffered from dehydration and exhaustion. And in a civil trial involving the relatives of victims of the USS Cole bombing in 2000, the federal judge in the case said today that Sudan is responsible for the attack. On Saturday, there will be a vote on the new Palestinian unity government, which will bring rival factions, Hamas and Fatah, together. In Beijing today, the UN nuclear watchdog chief said that North Korea is demanding that the United States lift financial penalties against the country first before it shuts down its nuclear reactor. An agreement in February was reached between North Korea and the countries which took part in the six-nation talks. President Bush wrapped up his Latin American trip by telling the press in Mexico today that he pledged to update the U.S. immigration laws and crack down on illegal drug trafficking. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next. Now this.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country, and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The Texas House of Representatives today voted to overturn the governor's controversial executive order that would require sixth-grade girls to receive an anti-cervical cancer vaccine. There's a similar bill under consideration in the Texas State Senate. And the FDA is warning that widely prescribed sleeping pills such as Ambien and Lunesta can cause dangerous side effects, including sleep driving and sleep eating. In both instances, the patient has no memory of the activity. The FDA wants stronger warnings on the medication's labels. California's Attorney General announced a plea deal has been reached in the HP Media spying scandal. The former Hewlett-Packard chairwoman, Patricia Dunn, and three others will enter guilty pleas to misdemeanor charges. Dunn was originally facing four felony charges and jail time. And Chiquita Brands International has been charged with doing business with a terrorist organization in Colombia. Federal prosecutors filed documents against the banana company today. A plea hearing is set for Monday. General Motors reported it had a fourth-quarter profit of $950 million after several quarters of losses. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.16 a barrel. Gold is trading at $642.50 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 57 points, the NASDAQ up 21, the S&P up 9. You're listening.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Thanks for being around for this Wednesday prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Glad you're with us. Quick program note before we go to our conversation. I will not be live Friday evening. As you know, I'm wrapping things up down here in the last little foothills of the Appalachians in Alabama, and I'm headed back home to the home studios in West Virginia. And I realized I would have to turn in my internet box. And they're not open on Saturday, so I've got to shut everything down on Friday. So that's why that is. But right now, with us on the phone of Harrison on the Edge fame, Harrison joins us having had a successful run in Los Angeles. Harrison, welcome to the program, and sorry for what happened, man.
Well, thank you, Bob. And also, this is my first prayer meeting of the day, so I appreciate that part, too.
Well, you know, we go for our communion where we can get it. But I was very much saddened to hear what happened out there. You were cruising along and doing quite well, as I understood it. What persuaded the powers that be that you weren't or shouldn't be?
Well, they feel that, they're experiencing difficulty somehow selling progressive talk. And there's maybe a variety of different mechanisms that contribute to that. But in any event, because of that, and it is Clear Channel, and Clear Channel, as you know, is in the process of being sold, and one of the things that Clear Channel wants to do when they hand it over to the new owners or go private or whatever happens is they need to look flush. They need to look profitable and clean and carrying no debt. So one of the things that they've done is if you're drawing a salary and doing a talk show, goodbye. So basically, 100% of the programming on that station now is paid for. So if you could buy your way on, and with that comes sort of an alternative flavor in the progressive talk format. So no longer is it particularly thrilling and radical and fun and activist. They're calling themselves progressive, the new mainstream, and bringing in a guy from KABC, which is the Sean Hannity station, signing a deal with Fox News at night, to bring in, another Hannity partner, Alan Combs. So it's decidedly more mainstream sounding, I guess.
that, you know, for me, Harrison, that doesn't sound terribly mainstream. It sounds like the desperate attempt to turn the satellite on and walk away. But still, I mean, were you being mean to people or?
It was abundantly clear that this was not for performance. No, not for a second. The numbers say that we were tied with the morning show's ratings. So certainly it wasn't for being a sklubberdegullion, if you like to use old words. It was simply an economic decision about the fact that even liberals have to pay rent and do even earn a salary. So bye-bye to that. So it really had nothing to do with me at all, except that, you know, I was getting paid.
It's straight out of The Godfather. Tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business.
Yeah, it was only business. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. My loss is not so much the loss of a show, although I'll be honest with you. I mean, there's something that sort of happens when you're bonding with so many people on a daily basis. You're building all these friends. Virtual as it might seem, they're still relationships and they're still real. And you get used to that interaction. You get it used to, as you can attest, dealing with some of the brightest, most amazing people that exist on Earth. And different from, say, right-wing talk radio structures, where they have utter contempt for their audiences and think them all to be boobs and idiots and morons and lie to them and then the sheep ditto away or whatever they're supposed to be doing. Ours are probably the most sophisticated, well-read, researching, anal, obsessive, data-minded. So you have to be on your game, and you end up stretching all of your intellect muscles and your honesty muscles, and it really is a hell of a positive workout on so many levels, and then suddenly it's over. So it does feel like the umbilicus to my creative baby was snipped, and I was left with a bit of a gooey placenta. How do you like these images? My God.
My eyes are bleeding, man.
Mine too. So, you know, it's kind of like that. It's the loss of the fact of being able, when you can in life, to try to do something to improve the world around you and not being able to express that. That's the part that hurts the most, I think.
And I think that's something that kind of separates progressive talk from conservative, right-wing, Republican, whatever you want to call it, talk. You know, you describe yourself as an activist, and you talk about trying to make doing radio be something that is a positive change in people's lives. I don't think the other side can say that. I mean, what good? I'm not trying to be catty here or anything, but what good does Rush Limbaugh do when he's on the air saying that these thousands and thousands and thousands of shattered troops are just a bunch of malingering no goods? How's that good for the country?
Well, it's not. But then you see, we have this, I think, occasionally false assumption that everyone is kind of like us. It's projection. That why would the first thing you do when you get out of bed be to go hurt somebody or steal? Like the first urge is to go steal or lie. That's not our way. So we get confused and assume that they're just misguided. They just made a boo-boo here. And the fact is, it really is a different ideology. It is a different, fundamentally core value type, different way of looking at Earth and all the residents thereon. And so it's tough for us to imagine, you know, doing that stuff and being able to go to sleep at night. I mean, if you savage people who come back missing arms and legs and exsanguinating all over the place, and blood poisoning and depleted uranium, and, you know, I go on forever, right? Stuff we still haven't even heard of or discovered, and just beat the hell out of them as being losers and puck fists. You know, you'd roll around in bed, you'd get night sweat, and you'd end up committing suicide. But these guys go to bed because they put on a good show, and it's all about them, and it's extremely egocentric, and they pull in a big paycheck. How weird it is that you get compensated much more for doing damage than you do for undamaging.
That is amazing. And the question lies in, I suppose, coming up with a model on our end. And I know, you know, you've been separated. You described it very well. Separated from something that means very much to you. I assume that you're hard at work on the way to coming back. Do you? I noticed on your website you've got an announcement coming Friday.
Well, actually, we're putting out a special podcast this Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific. The website is goharrison.com, one word. And in it, we're going to be making a bit of an announcement. We've got actually something we feel to be extremely deliciously grand to announce next week. So many amazing things have happened that are very positive about not only propelling the show to the next level, but like going from, you know, basket weaving up to lingerie. So I'm glad about the separation. And I also have to point out that I like to have fun on radio like you, and while I'm kind of serious here, because this is the first public conversation I've had, and it's with you, Bob. This thing. It's been a week. I did the depressive cocooning, the ice cream therapy, which, by the way, I recommend.
The best. I had to do that myself.
Yes. I mean, I had volupt gallons of ice. And the Sci-Fi Channel is the perfect midnight lover, too. So there are ways of getting through this. But I had a very interesting epiphany, and I think you'll appreciate this. Some of the worst places you can ever be when you're feeling bummed out is the shower. That's where you have debates with people who aren't in the room. And then when they say this, I'm going to say that. And then I'm going to say this, and they'll say that, and I'll say this. You know that old thing?
No, yeah.
And so I'm in there sort of going through that process on the third day, and then I had this awareness. You know what? I can either be unemployed or on hiatus. That it is a choice whether I'm defeated, depressed, bummed out, or I'm simply in between resurrecting this thing. And as soon as I made that decision, that choice, that I'm not a victim of all this stuff, the phone started ringing. I mean, it's kind of like that movie The Secret in a way, bizarrely enough.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I got a little spring in my step. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can. I can hear it. There's a bubble in your voice.
Little bubble, yeah. So we got some great stuff going on, and one of the things, there's an article which I'd be glad to forward to you, and it's from a guy named, I think, John Cox, and he's boasting about being it's called progressive conservatism. And what they're doing is hijacking the term progressive, such as some radio stations are now doing with their mainstream progressive thing, and they're just redefining it as the old mainstream is the new mainstream, and that's now progressive. So it just vitiates, waters down what you and I are until it becomes glunk. And this is the new plan of attack. Again, the first thing they do is wake up and figure out how do you bung a spanner into the gears. That's their way of life. So we, you know, eternal vigilance here. Pay attention. The good news is that more and more and more people are wider awake. They get that the corruption is as never before seen in this country, and that decent folks, regular people, such as you have in West Virginia and we have out here in Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs Hollywood, they get it and they want to be part of the solution and not perpetuate the problem.
Well, John, you mentioned John Cox. We're familiar with him here at the Horn, Harrison, because one of our hosts, a wonderful man by the name of Mark Levine in Washington, D.C., has had him on his program. And I know exactly what you're talking about from the standpoint of where he's coming from. It was one of those interviews where I was sitting there and just wanted to scream.
Mm-hmm.
You're so right when they'll steal the language. You know, you talked about getting up in the morning and wanting to do something rotten and how that just runs against the grain of everything that we are. These people, honest to God, they get up in the morning, and if it's moving, if it's breathing, they'll screw it, and if it's not moving, they'll steal it. And that applies to the language too. I'm seeing more and more. I'm glad you brought it up, but there's more and more out there. Republicans, people who were, you know, 3 years ago hollering about the revolution, well, now they're progressive.
Yeah.
And and you're absolutely right. We have to stay true to things. You come to this through a long process. On your website it says the only openly gay son of an ex-Nazi doing liberal radio or something like that. What was that process for you, Harrison?
I'll give you the quick upload as a courtesy. My father, when I was around 10, 11, 12, was collecting German war memorabilia, if you catch my drift.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a suburb of Chicago called Lake Forest. If you ever saw the movie Ordinary People, it was filmed there.
Right.
And my aunt actually produced it, so half my family's in it. And with that, he really, really, like any collector, you start getting a big enough collection, you start to love what you're collecting. So he had, you know, Schmeisser MP40 subautomatic machine guns and cases and a lamp made out of a German helmet and all the Luftwaffe flyers, personal mugs and Hitler's gold lighter and Himmler's douchebag or whatever all this important nonsense is. And so by the time I'm 13, I'm sent off to boarding school in Switzerland for 4 years, where one of the house fathers was a former SS officer from World War II. And this, by the way, is the same place that John Kerry was sent in 1951. So he spent a year in this place, too. Nazi finishing school, I like to think of it. And there, in my father's fantasy, was to have me Teutonified. I'm not even German, by the way. I'm just a dull wasp, you know. And so it was that kind of growing up. And the interesting thing, and I imagine you've got a lot of open space out where you are right now, when you don't have a neighbor, like on the other side of the wall, per se, you go up in a house, whatever's going on in the house is normal. I mean, that's what's normal, since you're not seeing the inside of other people's houses all the time. And in the town I'm from, people were eccentric. And so there's really nothing particularly perverse about this, because you can't compare it against anything but the three TV networks at the time. And that's all bizarre stuff, Bewitched. I mean, you know, nothing, you don't know what's real or not or right or wrong. And so I didn't know. So I grew up to be this little right-wing jerko, and I was. Because, you know, a kid, a person, is just an empty hard drive, and all the programming you have is whatever your parents install on it. So I'm running on Windows 95. Everyone else got a Mac, you know, until I had an awakening and started to understand what was going on around me. And that was a process later in life, but, you know, I got out of that place and out of a bunch of different private schools, ended up at the University of Florida in flip-flops, suddenly around real people drinking beer and starting to see what the hell is actually going on. And, you know, being a gay guy, I always knew that I was one of the enemies that my father spoke of, and I started to understand what it feels like to be oppressed. And when you're a wasp, you don't care about the Bill of Rights because you have the guns. You could mouth off whenever you want, holding a martini in one hand, a cigarette in the other, the car keys to a Porsche, and you don't see rights as being an issue because you control everything. It's when suddenly you lose that sense of control and power, you start to get what the founding fathers were going through with Mad George. You start to understand the reality of it all. And so by coming out, which for people listening right now who have some experience similar to that, we all have our own version of that. That's a scary process because you can, you know, you can get killed in certain places.
Sure.
And that's when you start to learn what real life is about. So that really helped a lot.
And so I take it, you know, you mentioned the film Ordinary People and your family's activities in producing it and so forth. So was it natural that you take it into radio or performance art?
Actually, I have no skills, you see. So I'm just a noisemaker. And that's what I do best. Like, you sure wouldn't want me balancing your checkbook. You wouldn't want me performing a medical procedure on you. But I love to yap. I love the humans on the planet. I love to interact with them. And somehow, like you, we found a way to connect with lots of amazing people. So what a good deal that is.
Oh, it amazes me. I get, you know, I don't know what any of these right-wing talkers' email boxes look like, but I get emails from literally rocket scientists and college professors and the people, you know, people who work on cars and organized labor, construction trades people, you know, the whole scope. And it seems to me, Harrison, that and part of the reason I wanted us to have this conversation is that we are all benefited every time there's one more outlet for extraordinary America to finally get a chance to talk. And so, you know, that's what you're doing. That's what we're trying to do here. And I'm anxious to hear what happens. And how do people get to the podcast on Friday?
Well, the website's super easy. If you're driving or whatever and can't write it down, you could just Google Harrison on the Edge or Go Harrison, and it'll take you to it. The website is GoHarrison.com. We'll have it posted by like 6 o'clock Pacific, which is 9 your time there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a special one-hour show, and we're going to reveal some of the stuff that's been going on and what we're going to be doing. Plus, we're going to have an Activism A-Go-Go, which is a special segment that I started a long time ago. L.A. being a huge city, we always have peace rallies and marches and things going on, movies that are being premiered that are enlightening, you know, with information you just don't see anywhere else, and the whens and the wheres of all of that. So that we can keep people cooking along. I've gotten, as you mentioned, well over 1,300 emails. I mean, the audience is in revolt. They're going nuts everywhere. And I mean, and they're wonderful people. You're almost speechless because you don't realize how many amazing, cool people out there and how we've all connected with each other until it's suddenly gone. And again, through no fault of ours, it was simply a financial decision that Clear Channel is allowed to make. It's their company, not mine. I was not an employee ever. I made sure to always have autonomy in that relationship, and I'm very glad about that, too.
Because that way they can't say, you know, you said something nasty about an
Well, they could never tell me, you know, don't say that. Like when we brought Arun Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's 72-year-old surviving grandson, to Hollywood for the first time ever and did this parade for peace that I put together last October, 10,000 listeners showed up. And had I been an employee, they would have said, well, no, there's a legal thing, somebody trips and falls, we'll get sued, you can't do this. So instead, I did it as me through my website, and we had this every movie star you could ever want to know in blue jeans and shorts showed up, and we had this huge bacchanalia that terminated right in the front of CNN. Isn't that clever? And had such a good time, and I told everybody there, I said, I want you to get the phone number of somebody whom you don't know in the crowd and, you know, turn them into your social Rolodex here. So everyone gets to meet somebody and you go home with something that's more permanent than just an experience, you know, a new best friend. And that's the great gift of progressive talk radio, is that we get to do these things. You know what I mean? We get to, it's for free and for fun. It's just the only way to live.
And of course, you know, we want that kind of interaction. I don't know what goes on, but I can well imagine what you mentioned earlier, that the listeners to Right Wing Talk are thought of as rubes or marks or whatever. That's not the way it is. It's a beautiful thing when you get to actually meet the people who share their time to spend time with you, because this is whether we realize it or not, this is an intimate experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, think about this. You know, a movie star, and we have this all the time. In the neighborhood I live in, you know, you'll go to the Whole Foods or the grocery store. 2 weeks ago, Leonardo DiCaprio is gnawing on a cutie, which is a soy ice cream bar. You know, right in front of me with his shirt tails hanging out. This is normal for us here. And what happens is people will walk up and want to engage him because they know him. They've known him for years, watching him in movies. Just like
him grow up.
You know, newscasts will keep yelling, at, we're number one, you know, you're news source. And people feel they're owed time when they meet these people, and these people have never met the audience. It is a one-way relationship, but a real relationship. And when we're begging and begging people to listen, to participate, and then we blow them off and we actually meet them, we're not paying attention to the messages we're sending out. And I think that's the cool thing about progressive talk, is that we're congruent with our messages. We walk the walk. We show up. We're willing to shake hands. You know, we're willing to be vulnerable. You know, we don't walk around with bodyguards and black limousines. Forget it.
I can't even afford a black Model T.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what, Harrison, it's been wonderful talking to you. I hope we'll communicate more in the future because it would seem that we're on the same wavelength. And you've been doing great stuff out there, and I'm glad you came up out of the ice cream funk. And I'll be checking the podcast Friday, and be happy to announce when you bounce back and you come back bigger, better, and better than ever.
Well, I appreciate your time, Bob. Love making a new friend, and we'll definitely stay in each other's universe. And I appreciate your taking time out and having me on the radio.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and have a wonderful night.
I'm going to go have a little ice cream.
Sounds like a wonderful idea. Bye now.
I have a friend.
Take care. We've got a new friend, Harrison from Harrison on the Edge, and he will, like you mentioned, joeharrison.com, a new podcast coming up with some announcements and some big stuff happening next week. And let me make things perfectly clear here before we go to the break. What he said about walking the walk and talking the talk is the absolute honest-to-God truth. We have, and it's one of those things about doing this that concerns me most, and that is we have got to do it differently. If this is just Rush or Savage or O'Reilly or that life support system for a haircut Hannity, if this is just that from the opposite side of the political spectrum, screw it, I'm going home. If, however, this is an opportunity to connect, if this is an opportunity to process, if this is an opportunity for you to share with other people and empower people and make friends across the globe and understand that the distances can be closed by something as miraculous as the internet, then it's worth doing. And that seems to be the pretty stark comparison that we face. So please understand that you are the most important part of this process. Whether you call, whether you write, whether you sit and say, oh, well, I don't think I've got anything to say that he'd want to hear or that would add to the conversation. If you're thinking that, you're wrong. Everything that you have to offer is valid because you are offering to the sum total of the experience. You are breaking the silence. You are ending. You're ending the trip to the political gulag that we have been sent on media wise. God, since Ronald Reagan came into office. And to me, that's pretty profound, and you're pretty profound. So we'll take a break. I think we need to do some tech stuff. When we come back, what have you got to say? What are you thinking? What's on your mind? This is the Head On Radio Network. This is America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org, because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You know, I think I'd have to give it a 9 because it's got a great beat and you can dance to it. Welcome back to Head On. It's about 23 minutes before the hour, and we'll go straight to the phones in a second. The number, of course, you already know, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral for Head On. Email to bob@headonradio.com. I need to mention from time to time a hearty welcome to all the new listeners coming in via iTunes over there at iTunes Radio. You go to iTunes.com, you click radio, it opens up another menu, you go down to Head On Radio Network, and bang, you're there. And the growth we're seeing in the Horn is astonishing and exciting. I had an interesting afternoon. Now, this goes to show the psychosis of what gets ingrained in our being. As I mentioned, I'm getting ready to head back up the road to wild, wonderful West Virginia at our secure, undisclosed location in the hills and hollers. And so that being the case, and with 80,000 miles on the vehicle, and hearing a weird little squeak, and having had a thing happen last week where it went when I was trying to pull out in traffic, which is really terrifying, I took it to have it serviced today, thinking, hoping, praying, because, you know, it's got 25 gallons of gas in it. I could just hear him saying, well, you know, Mr. Kincaid, We're going to have to drain the gas tank and pull the fuel pump. Well, no, it wasn't anything like that, but I did have that annoying little squeak. I said, you know, while you're checking out the fuel thing, if you get a minute, look at the squeak. Well, it turns out the squeak is I got to have new ball joints. Couldn't find anything wrong with the fuel system, but we're going to tune it up just for the fun of it. So they said, look, you know, I said, you want to bring it back first thing in the morning? They said, no, leave it here. We'll take you home. So I am without an automobile right now and am at the mercy of the dealership until they come to get me. And you know what? As an American, that is an icky feeling. Jesus, if I want to go get, I got to walk. Walking. Ooh. Yeah. We are so spoiled. So rotten, rotten spoiled. Yeah, my wings have been clipped. I'm grounded. Because I have to walk. 99% of the world walks. And I got to leave my car overnight, and I'm sitting here thinking that the gods are frowning on me. But anyway, you know, I'm looking at a substantial outlay of money for the repairs, but, you know, there's some pretty desolate stretches of road between here and Wild Wonderful. And I really don't want to be on one of those with a loaded down vehicle, and you know, and the car always, you know, if you understand the kismet and the karma of all this, the car only dies when the last bar on your cell phone range goes. Murr. So I didn't want that to happen. So you know, that's what I'm up against, and that's what you're up against. I'm not. The reason I'm telling you this is because we all go through these kinds of things. I've referenced on the program a number of times a poem, and for the life of me, one of these days I'm going to have to track it down. Richard Hugo, maybe, who wrote that it's not the great big tragedies in life that drive us mad and you know, make you contemplate just putting an end to it all. It's the little things. It's realizing that you've got a conflict because on the one hand you need $500 for a new set of tires, or you need $500 to keep the power bill up to date. It's the little things. It's sending a package on the fifth day of the month and finding out that it still hasn't gotten there by the 15th day of the month. Damn it! So it is those little things, and it's those little things that we endure each and every day, and sometimes makes us wonder if we're going to get through to the next one. It's being in the middle of the month and looking at the checkbook balance and wondering if you're going to make it to the end of the month or what's going to have to go by the wayside. It's looking at your kids and realizing that you haven't taken them to a movie because you know you got to call your banker for a boat loan to go to the movies anymore. It's all of those things. And they challenge us, and they irk us, and they wear us out, and they make us think that we can't get by. But we can, and we cut corners, and we will. And I mention all of this for a reason, and that is to say that I know how it is for all of us when somebody comes along and says, you know, I need $10 a month from you. I need $120 in a year from you. Because that's what we're saying and asking, and our good friend Billy Shears has led the way on this. He's been a real hero about it. Offering to put together something that is his own labor of love in exchange for a commitment of $10 a month, $120 a year, $120. For the simple purpose of keeping one of the best liberal talkers out there, one of the best liberal voices out there on the air. And that's Guy James. A hero of a host here on the Horn. Now, those of you who don't know all of his story, you know, for years he paid out of his own money to get the message out. Well, he can't do that anymore. We don't charge anything here at the Horn. But he has monthly expenses that he has to meet in order to be able to continue doing his program. And, you know, roughly $600 a month will take care of it. 60 people doing $10 a month. And it will keep one more liberal voice talking. It's like the conversation that I had with Harrison. If we're going to make it work on this end, we can't be concerned with issues of competition. We can't be concerned with issues of one-upmanship. You know what? They reorganized. I want Air America to succeed. To the extent I'm a praying person, I pray that Nova M succeeds. And between Agnes and Ben and John and all the hosts on the Horn, we pour every ounce of our very being into seeing that the Horn succeeds. Again, because the more we get the liberal message, the progressive message out, the more that we can call for the impeachment of an absolutely criminal regime in the White House, the more that we can demand accountability of the elected representatives who we put in a majority in the Congress to do the job that we damned well sent them there to do, every voice that we have adding to that is a net positive. So that's why we're asking you to pony up $10 a month. And you know what? I'm not allowed to speak for anybody. I would not dream of speaking for anybody. But let me make something perfectly clear. As far as I'm concerned, you know, if we should happen to get lucky and, you know, 70 people contribute, I want it. I'm asking that it be put out there. If we hit 60, I want it put out there. We asked for 60. Here's 60. We got 60. Okay. So I can. What's most important in all of this is that what Harrison said is very true. We talk the talk, and we walk the walk. And I can't sit here and ask you, who have to make decisions about tires and power bills and new ball joints on the front end, and the house needs a new roof and the refrigerator's on the fritz. Knowing what you deal with every day, I can't sit here and ask you to do it if I'm not willing to do it myself. So to that end, I'm going to go out and get a money order for $120. And I'm going to send it to Guy. And I'll let Billy know when I've done it. I don't PayPal very well, so forgive me. That's the one part of the technical thing that I haven't figured out yet. But I want you to know that apart from just sitting here running my silly yap, I'm getting out there and walking the walk with you because it means that much. So please, 60 people, $10 a month. To keep how many hours a year? What does that measure? What does it come down to on a per minute basis? How many half a pennies are you paying per minute? But you're not paying, you're supporting. Your support is the recognition of how important it is to keep this fight going. I have never been very good at this, and I never will be. But I implore you, be a part of the 60. There's a really, really wild retelling of the Battle of Thermopylae that's out in the theaters right now. It's called 300. We don't want 300. We need 60. 60 at $10 a month, please. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we will go to the phones that I promise. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Join in. What do you think? You are part of America's liberal voice. You are part of the Horn. And we'll be back.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Chills. Who is that, Agnes? Silly asking me. I should probably know. But anyway, let's go to the phones. Peter's calling from Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I've got a remix of Wade in the Water I need to send in to you. That would be fun for a night.
Oh, that would be.
Yeah, it would be very festive. I can't remember who does this remix, but it's just like that with just a little faster beat. You know, great calling. You had Harrison on. I'm so impressed. Dude, you're moving up the world. You're getting all these West Coast big guys. It just blows me away. I didn't even know you knew him.
Bob Kincaid, humble talk radio yammerhead.
Well, that's just amazing to me. Well,
but, the truth of the matter is, I know about Harrison through Mike Malloy.
Cool.
Because back when he was still there, America, Mike had Harrison fill in for him a few times.
Yeah, that's right, he did, yeah. I listened to Harrison pretty regularly, and Bruce and John did a show on Saturday nights on Horn, and I kind of got out of the habit of doing it, so I've missed him lately, so I didn't know this was all afoot, so I'm kind of looking forward to hearing what's going on his podcast. Well, I want to talk to you. It's prayer meeting night. And
yes.
You know, the Baptists and the fundamentalists have every right to screw up their children any way they want to in their own churches. I mean,
because it's America.
Fundamental American right to screw them all up. But it's crossed the line now, and I'll get into why. But have you heard about the purity ball?
Huh?
I'm not talking
Wait. Is this anything like Sea of Galilee mud mask?
No, this is for real. These are called purity balls. Now, this is sort of a substitute for a prom.
Okay, will you forgive me if my deviant little mind tells me that a purity ball sounds really, really dirty?
Well, it's a prom, so to speak, that has many elements of a marriage and the daughter, some of them are that they take along are as young as 4 years old, because you know those 4 year olds are, you know, little girls are full of lust too, are taken to these balls by their fathers, and these are held under the auspices of a church, you know, and the father's in a tux and the girls dress up in the prom dress and they dance, and it's all fine food and the white wedding cake, and they take vows, and they promise to remain abstinent until their honeymoon, and in some cases they even promise never to kiss until their honeymoon. And the father's part of the vows is to protect their daughter's chastity. It's almost like, you know, signing over control of your vagina to your father.
I don't. I'm a dad, and I've had 4-year-old girls, and I don't want to think about how you begin to have the conversation, Peter, to explain what the hell chastity is to a 4-year-old. Is that a new doll? Is that like the brat?
Mm-hmm. And there are websites now that sell the chastity wedding. They don't call them wedding rings; they're just chastity rings, because there's an exchange of rings. There's vows and not to kiss a boy, and they're called purity balls. They're becoming the thing in the big.
Lord God, Peter, you do these things too. I'm gonna bust an unopened can of Mountain Dew into my head.
Okay, now you see, I have witnessed the preliminary versions of the. You remember my year of being held hostage by the fundamentalists.
the year of living fundamentally.
The entire year of being held captive by fundamentalists. It's a long story, and I'll get into it another time. But during that period of time, we went to these big mega on Sundays, and they had these special services where the young women, teenage girls, would get up on the stage with their father, and they would exchange a ring and get a little certificate. And it was like a vow of chastity, and it was all within the church, and that was all well and good, and it was part of the ceremony. And if they wanted, you know, play that game with their kids, that's fine. Don't misunderstand. I'm not for, you know, minors running out and having sex with their boyfriends all over the place. I think maybe they're probably too young to deal with a lot of that stuff. But nonetheless, it's the methodology. But you know, where is the highest rate of unwed mothers and divorces? It's all in the red states anyway.
Right smack dab in the middle of right where I am.
Right. And as I said a minute ago, it's really none of my business until now, because now the Bush administration's what do you call it? Where they they finance the abstinence programs, and they reach over into faith-based. Well, now our tax dollars are going to fund these damn purity balls.
Oh, help me.
Oh, yeah, I'm not kidding you. All right, you know...
Purity ring? See, you've done things to my brain, Peter. Purity rings? What? Honest to God, the Baptists are 50 years away from female circumcision, tops.
Oh, yeah, and Bernie Gates, the state, tops. Yeah, and so what about, you know, these churches have, like, you know, they have poorer members of the congregation, and, of course, all the poor little girls are welcome to come, too. And, oh, by the way, many of these children are homeschooled and you know, are kind of all, you know, wrapped up into it anyway. It's not like, you know, they're drug kicking and screaming in, but you know, a four-year-old has no really freedom of choice. But the thing that, you know, the poor, I mean, you know, they have, like, help funds. And so my tax dollars are going to buy gowns, you know, prom gowns for some little girl that's,
You're gonna make my head split open like an overripe cassava melon, Peter.
Hold on, please.
I want to give this the time it deserves, but we're up against the news. So will you stick around till we're done with the news, and then we'll pick this back up, please?
Sure.
Thank you, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Chastity balls. Honest to God, it sounds like a porno movie. We'll be back after the news. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like. You say black, I say white.
The Quality News Network. Stocks bounce back today, closing above 1,200. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street later in business news. Senator John Sununu has become the first Republican in Congress to call for the dismissal of embattled Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Democrats have been calling for Gonzalez to step down in light of the controversial firings of 8 U.S. attorneys. On Capitol Hill, the Senate has voted to consider a Democratic plan to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. Republican opponents blocked two previous attempts at debating similar resolutions. Violence in Baghdad has gone down since the launch of a security crackdown 1 month ago. That's according to the spokesman for U.S. forces in Iraq, Major General William Caldwell. He told the press today that all indicators are very positive right now. He also said that we need to have patience and diligence. In the wake of Caldwell's statements, the Pentagon issued its bleakest report yet on the Iraq War. The report says that October through December of last year was the most violent three-month period since 2003. The report also says that some of the violence in Iraq can be described as a civil war. Iraq's President Jalal Talabani returned back to his Kurdish home today. He spent the past 17 days in a hospital in Jordan after he collapsed in northern Iraq. His doctors said the 73-year-old suffered from dehydration and exhaustion. In a civil trial involving the relatives of victims of the USS Cole bombing in 2000, the federal judge in the case said today that Sudan is responsible for the attack. On Saturday, there will be a vote on the new Palestinian unity government, which will bring rival factions Hamas and Fatah together. In Beijing today, the UN nuclear watchdog chief said that North Korea is demanding the United States lift financial penalties before the country shuts down its nuclear reactor. More talks are set to begin March 19th. And President Bush wrapped up his Latin American trip by telling the press in Mexico today that he pledged to update the U.S. immigration laws and crack down on illegal drug trafficking. The Associated Press reports the Army Corps of Engineers has installed defective flood control pumps in New Orleans, ignoring warnings from their own experts. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, next.
Run for your lives. The lenders are coming. They're in the mailbox. They're overloading your email. They're on the phone. They won't be denied. The best rate, the biggest bargain, fewer points, too much information. Gold Coast Financial to the rescue. They can offload the overload and handcraft a loan that suits your needs. Are you on lender overload? Relief is just minutes away. Call Gold Coast Financial, 831-649-8757. 831-649-8757. Gold Coast Financial.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I want to help you grow your business. At the Duplication Connection, we specialize in CD and DVD duplication in quantities from 1 to 1 million. If your company needs mass quantities of CDs or DVDs, you can now use us as one of your primary marketing tools. Thousands of our customers have depended on our fast turnaround and superior quality product for almost 20 years, and so will you. Please call us at 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
NASA's Cassini spacecraft has discovered huge seas on Saturn's largest moon. Scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, studying images taken by the probe that blasted off from the Earth a decade ago, say the seas on Titan are likely filled with liquid methane or ethane. The Texas House of Representatives today voted to overturn the governor's controversial executive order that would require sixth grade girls to receive an anti-cervical cancer vaccine. There's a similar bill under consideration in the Texas State Senate. The FDA is warning that widely prescribed sleeping pills can cause dangerous side effects, including sleep driving and sleep eating. The FDA warns stronger labels on those drugs is what's needed, including Ambien and Lunesta. Those are the drugs involved. California's Attorney General announced a plea deal has been reached in the HP Media spying scandal. Charges have been dropped against the former Hewlett-Packard chairwoman, Patricia Dunn. Prosecutors say that her health played a role in their decision. She's being treated for advanced cervical cancer. And today, light sweet crude is trading at $58.16 at the close of Wall Street. The Dow Jones was up 57 points, the NASDAQ up 21, the S&P up 9. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, we roll on into and we continue on. We had a conversation going before the hour ended, and I hate to break those things in two, but you know, some you got to do the news when you got to do the news. We're talking with our good friend Peter from Tallahassee, who keeps an eye on these sorts of things. Purity balls was the topic. Peter, this is so foreign for me. I hear purity, and I think about a brand of ice cream down here. Okay, well, I mean,
yeah, you know, it was interesting talking to Agnes during the break because she brought up the fact that we're probably 10 years away from chastity belts. If you want to know, which is probably that, and it's just a chastity belt wrapped up in a ball dress is what it boils down to. And what I want to know is, where are the boys? You know, you've got Dobson wanting to show his penis to the little boys in the shower so they get over their homicide. After the ball, the fathers take all their daughters to the motel rooms and show them what they shouldn't do with other boys. And why don't the girls just parade around in negligees and lingeries for all the dads there? Just get that out of their system. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, for those of us who have seen a movie like Dangerous Liaisons, with all the costuming and the French dresses and the hoop skirts and all of that, you know, that stuff is really not an impediment to sex.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But it's my understanding from what you were saying right before we went to the news, now that the Bush administration has latched onto this thing, taxpayer dollars are going to be buying purity ball gowns for underprivileged.
Sure.
Hopefully pure.
You know, if you could afford to buy your own gown, fine. But if not, the church would buy it for you. So you can't exclude someone from your congregation.
And the church will get a grant from the government.
Yes, hell yes, to pay for the white cake and the ceremony and the band.
Is there a markup?
Well, I'm sure there is, and it's all part of the abstinence program. And as long as it was like, you know, their little, you know, scenarios in front of the congregations there, you know, where they made these pledges. You know, that's one thing, but I don't think, I mean, I'm not, don't want my tax dollars to go to burn brown babies, and I don't want my tax dollars to go sprinkling depleted uranium all over the desert. And you know, Iraqis don't ask, now they don't, the first question is not, you know, is it a boy or a girl? The first question is it normal? The birth defect rate over there is astronomical. Astronomical. You know, and now what are we doing? We're paying for purity balls as if that would work. You know, I said a while back, you know, they're talking about the protections of God. What is it? The belt of truth and the sword of truth and the gird up your loins. What are those things? I forget. I can't call them.
Oh, that's the armor of righteousness.
Yes, the armor of righteousness. Well, I think the little latex is these can be added to the armor of righteousness these days. The little latex to go a long way to correct some of these things. And it just amazed me. I could not believe it.
Are these people so dense that they don't understand the irony of all of this?
No, they don't. They're all wrapped up in it.
Honest to God, Peter, this is a tacit admission on the part of fundamentalist, evangelical, whatever you want to call them. This is their admission that they are such insufficient parents that they're raising little tramps.
Oh, precisely, Bob. And part of one of the advantages of taking your daughter to this thing is that it's to initialize or to cause father-daughter bonding. Well, I got news for you. If you're not already bonded and close with your little girl by the time she's that age, that party is over. The boat has left the dock.
You know, this is just so crazy because, you know, I will freely admit, I don't get to spend near the time with my children that I want to spend with them.
Oh, they love you, though.
But.
Do I know?
But I've bonded with my daughters.
Sure you have.
You know how we bond? We talk about stuff.
Yeah.
They ask me questions and I try to answer it honestly.
And you don't do it in front of a bunch of stiff-necked, religious industry type folks in a ball gown in a totally phony environment. That's not the way it happens. It's a public commitment ceremony and where are the boys, for crying out loud? Why don't they go to
Are we on the hook for purity tuxes too?
Well, no, they're not doing that yet because, you know, boys is men and they's different. And furthermore, all these vows are like not to kiss your boyfriend or have sex before your wedding night with your husband. I mean, they're just wide open for a big old lesbian.
Well, yeah, there's that, and, you know, well, we promised we wouldn't kiss. We didn't. Yeah, I mean, I could get this show real blue in a real hurry. You know, I said I wouldn't kiss it.
Exactly, yeah. You get into the whole thing about what can I do, Daddy? Well,
see, and that's the thing. That's the nature of human beings. It's, you know, you say, don't do this. Well, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, exactly. And we all know
many years ago, Peter, when the show was still on the air in Beckley on old-fashioned terrestrial radio, the general manager, who is not so lovingly referred to as Q-Ball, had an absolute hissy. Because I was giving away copies of a young man's book that was just brilliant. A young man's book called Generation Slut.
Oh, my. That's the controversial.
And Slut stood for Sexually Liberated Urban Teens.
Oh, my. In West Virginia. Oh, Bob, you're going to go to hell, huh?
Yeah. I got my sacred asbestos underwear already. But you know, what will people think? What if we had an advertiser in here and somebody came in to pick up a copy of that book that says Generation Slut on? There's a picture of a girl's ankles on there with panties around them. Bob, Jesus, what do you think we're running here?
Oh, Lord. You sure know how to tear a station down, don't you? Just leave.
You know, I knew we were on the way out, you know, and that was.
I don't blame you a bit.
But, these ceremonies, you know, that's the other side of this thing, Peter. What would be the best way to put it? This is Catholic envy.
Well, isn't it, though, the pomp and the pageantry and the emptiness of it? Well,
because,
sorry,
you see, if you're a Roman Catholic, you get to go to your confirmation.
Well,
okay,
Catholic ceremony is empty to me because I don't get it, but, you know.
Well, I know, but they've got them. okay?
Yes.
With the stinking incense stenchers and walking up and down the aisle and sit, stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel, stand, sit, kneel. And, you know, my daddy plays dominoes better than your daddy plays dominoes and all of that crap.
Right.
You know, somewhere along the way, there's a ceremony called confirmation. And if you're a little girl, you get this big, billowy, white hootenanny dress.
Oh, Lord.
And you are confirmed into the bosom of Mother Church.
I see.
And you're making in your soul... as that little girl, you're making certain promises according to church doctrine, part of which is that you won't screw till Jesus tells you you can.
Right. Yeah, that's all part.
Isn't this the same thing?
Yeah, it's a lot of it the same thing.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to get all soapbox and dirty or anything.
And I don't mean to insult, you know, people that go to church. Hell, I'm in church every Sunday. I'm just a typical Southern boy in almost every way. But, you know, this was the limit. I just don't feel like funding this crap.
Right. You kind of got to draw a line when you're asked to write the check for it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So we're now paying for white cake and bands and the banners and maybe a few ball gowns for the poor kids and the chastity.
Yeah, with a nice little markup for the rectory, you know.
And it goes down toward abstinence. Absolutely insanity. And so
where did you find this?
Pardon me?
Where did you find this?
Just Google purity ball or purity balls.
I'm afraid to do it because it'll take me straight to some porno site.
No, it won't. You Google it under news, though. Don't Google it under regular. God knows what you'll get. Google it under Google News for purity ball or purity whatever. And it's fail. I mean, you'll have page after page of purity ball or purity balls. So if you Google news, now I don't know what you'll get if you just plain Google. I would hate.
I love my purity balls at work. No.
Yeah. And there's just mountains of it. It's becoming extremely popular, and it is becoming the thing to do. And so there's peer pressure to do it. And if your little girl does not go, then she's blood.
I got six different objections to this, because inherent in all of this is this, you know, I won't even kiss my boyfriend. Inherent in all of this, Peter, is the, you know, first and foremost, what these people are inculcating, what they're making sure of, because all of these people at some point down the road, they want to have little good Southern Baptist grandchildren.
Yeah.
And they are making it less and less likely that those girls are going to have any kind of reasonably decent sex life.
Well, that's true, too. They're also
when those little fundy grandchildren will come.
Yeah, that too. They're telling the kids, too, that when they do get married, unless they do this, then their father cannot give them away because, in fact, the father has nothing to give away. She's taken that from her father. It's a whole guilt thing all interwoven into it.
Holy cats!
Oh, just I dare you. When you just can't quite take anymore, and you're getting suicidal, but you've got a bottle of glue handy, and you take a big huff to get over it. Google it; it's just amazing. And it's
I will. I thought I was on the inside of this stuff, but I'm not paying close enough attention.
Believe it. How did it bring up something that will just further destroy it? I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's so interesting you bring this up, because I've got an interview. I hate to call them interviews. I've got a conversation slated for late this month with an author of a new book, and I think you'll find it very interesting. And I'll promote it a little more as we get closer. New book that's just out by a man named Dan Gilgoff. The name of the book is The Jesus Machine, How James Dobson, Focus on the Family, and Evangelical America Are Winning the Culture War.
Well, that's interesting. I am so glad you're having him on. You know, I love this subject, and I saw the book advertised recently on maybe a BuzzFlash flyer or something or another that came through the email, and I didn't order it. I would love to hear that interview. Please give us some warning on that. I'd love to hear it. Don't want to be late that night.
Oh, I will. I absolutely will. And this is, I mean, Do you think that ordinary America, you know, the ones I was talking about in the last hour, the ones who are worried about the fridge that's going on the Fritz and stuff, do they realize that this weird little nub of hardcore fundamental fanaticists are actively trying to take over their country, and that now the people who are worrying about buying the new fridge, do they realize that they're buying ball gowns with their tax dollars?
Yeah, same. It's almost like the corporations who fund these huge lavish birthday parties for the CEO's wives with half-naked guys serving cocktails and stuff. You remember that? The swans where there were swans. It was all paid for by the corporation.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett sang at that party.
Oh, did he? Yeah, and so the churches do it, too. There's greed everywhere. You might as well, help the poor. The rich don't need it, and they'll just misuse it anyway.
This is just astonishing.
Well,
I mean, I, Peter, constantly think, yay, verily, now Bob has heard it all. And you walk in, and you just walk into the radio show and put a brick through my window.
Well, Bob, when I was a little boy, my daddy never took me to a purity ball. You reckon if I come up and visit, you could take me? Oh, could we wreck them?
Oh, send the gown size to Agnes. We'll get busy soon.
Oh, it would be fabulous. I want a big blonde slut wig.
Oh, I got Mountain Dew coming out my nose.
Sorry.
Oh. Peter, thank you so much.
On that note, I will see you guys later.
And remember, when you put Purity Ball into the Google search bar, you have to hit news. God only knows what you get if you just hit search.
Do it under the news search. There's a specific, it's there, you'll see it, you probably know it. Know it and use it. I don't know what you'll get the other one.
Thanks,
Purity
Peter.
Ball, Purity Ball, it's all there, I swear to God. I swear.
That just kills me. It just slays me. All right, let's...
All right, sir. Well,
take care, Peter.
Roll along. I'll see you later.
All right. I'm going to be a while getting over this one.
Okay. I'll see if I can... I'll get you again, the Oriel code.
Oh, liquor bottle meat straw.
Okay, I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye. Purity balls. It's from the Purity Ice Cream Company, and it's the ice cream. They're done up in little balls. No. Let's keep it rolling. Just go straight to the phones. Our good buddy Rick calls in from Texas. Hey, Rick, help us.
Hey, Bob. I don't know. I don't know if I can be much help for anything anymore, but I will promise you that I will help with that funding issue.
Well, thank you.
And
thank
you.
I'm sure
a
guy thanks
help
you.
With it, it will be helped well. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Breathe easy.
Okay.
I just thought maybe I'd call and grapple a little bit about our full Republican-controlled House here in Texas. They just
they are meeting right now, aren't they? It's every 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, they voted down and canceled out Rick Perry, who's another Republican. But on this issue, he was fairly bright, although he was being paid off by the pharmaceutical companies to do the shot for children to keep them from getting cervical cancer. And they voted it down, completely out. So now it's no longer law that sixth-grade girls get shot anymore. Aren't we right here?
The late, great Molly Ivins once recounted a story of a man who was a member of the Texas legislature and a Democrat, Rick. And they were the conservatives in the legislature were debating a bastardy bill.
Right.
And the fella stood up and he said, "You know, I'm not terribly worried about the natural bastards in Texas, but I am certainly concerned about the self-made ones in this room."
Yeah, remember that very well. That's actually a law, and that is the name of it, the non-bastard law.
Yes.
It guarantees that any child that's born will not be illegitimate, if that's the word. No bastards.
But I guess
they didn't realize how many Republicans we're going to have and how many bastards we will have here in Texas.
The self-made ones, exactly.
Yeah. Well, actually, that all changed during the time when the Rust Belt moved to the Sun Belt. Back in the 80s when Reagan destroyed the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And we just filled up with all of these really weird people with their really weird ideals. And I think they outnumbered us at that point. And then they started having kids. So Texas mindset and everything has been watered down since then. But this pro-death rule, you know, where, you know, teenagers should get cervical cancer because they have sex, is just completely ridiculous. I have spent the last 2 weeks, and I just took a break right now, because I heard on the news that they passed this stupid law, from sitting across the bed and watching my wife struggle to take breath because she has cancer.
Oh, God.
We don't know where it started from. It's in her lungs now. We know for sure it isn't cervical cancer because that's the only place she doesn't have it. But if these people had any idea of the pain that a person with cancer has, how could they wish it upon another person just because they had sex? And this
is a sexist rule
because it's the women who are going to catch the cancer, not the guys. Totally sexist. Let the women suffer.
And the nature of the transmission of HPV, which is what we're talking about, human papillomavirus.
Right.
In many instances, if I understand it correctly, Rick, a guy can have it.
Yes, and a guy
and
can
not,
pass it.
And pass it and not ever know it.
Over and over and over again. And who is going to suffer? A woman. But, you know, women don't have that much value in the Republican Party anyway. Excuse me, I'm kind of bitter at the moment.
You're welcome to be. There'd be something wrong with you if you weren't.
But this is just ridiculous. I cannot believe that they would do anything that dumb. And, you know, Rick Perry wasn't doing anything because he's a great, wonderful guy. It's because he got a great big contribution from the pharmaceutical company. That makes it.
Yeah, doing the right thing for all the wrong reasons.
Right, but it's still the right thing, so I don't care.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. It's amazing. But anyway, once again, I'm embarrassed by my state. I just wish our economy would go completely horrible so the rest of people would move back up again.
we're a long way off. We live, Rick, and it, but please bear in mind, it, you know, we have our fun with Texas from time to time, but it's not just Texas. My God in heaven, I'm sure if they tried to do that here with that vaccine, there would be a four-square hissy thrown in Alabama, Tennessee, West Virginia. Anywhere that fundamentalists are in concentration, those objections will be.
Absolutely. And I've even heard it here in the hospital when the rules were passed that sixth graders should get it. The fundamentalist was in here screaming. Well, they forget. Being the only liberal Democrat in the hospital, I'm sorry, there's actually six of us here. Six in the whole hospital. I have access to files. I know the fundamentalist diehard Christians and their daughters that are on birth control. So you want to tell me that since the shot's out, they're not going to get that too? Not a matter of them wanting this disease on themselves. They want poor people who cannot afford the shot to not be able to get it for free.
Right, because if it was mandatory, it would be paid for by taxpayer dollars. And I've read articles, oddly enough, Mike Papantonio, who is supposedly a liberal, is absolutely running around with his hair on fire of it. He's so mad about it. But there, you know, the government's going to pay $300 a shot. You know what?
Correct.
That means that poor folks can't get it.
$300 a shot since March the 22nd of last year. My wife was given 6 months to live, by the way. Every 3 weeks, we've been paying $30,000 for treatment. Every 3 weeks.
Holy mackerel.
What? No, that isn't federal money.
No.
That's just partially insurance money. Just partially. So, if someone of lesser means, what are they going to do? They're going to die. And this is a preventable form of cancer. not little boys. And I really believe that if boys only caught it, this would be a different issue.
It would be, Rick. I've got a very good friend who often quotes that old feminist saying that if men had to get pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament.
You know that immediately. Thanks. I finally got on the internet today, and that was it. You know, I decided I had to have 2 hours, and so I've taken 2 hours to just go on the internet. Of course, I was listening to you and everything. And I went ahead and checked my website.
I don't know how to ask a question like, I would be a monster if I said, "How's your wife?" or "I hope she's okay," or "feeling better." Just know that our thoughts are there, Rick. Just know that our thoughts are there. Tell her that our thoughts are there.
Gotcha.
Please.
But I will. I promise. I do appreciate it. I did look at my website because I haven't been able to check in a long time. I usually try to attack these people as soon as they did. But on the Fox Syndrome book, someone has went on and made a sneering joke about there being no liberal radio anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of you guys would like to, just go there and inform the guy, enlighten him that there is head-on radio.
Tell him how to get there, Rick.
Oh, it's Amazon.com. Just Greg Goodner, G-O-D-N-E-R, and then Fox Syndrome. It'll all come up on the site. And
well, I have a feeling you'll see some hits.
And I can't take the time to do it. I would love to. I've already put it through my mind what I'd like to say, but just someone just go in and say, "Oh, contraire, there's Bob Kincaid. There's there's hit on radio. There's everything." Or don't, whatever. Anyway, didn't want to throw a blanket on. This is Wednesday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, hallelujah, Brother Bob. But anyway,
praise something, Brother Dr. Rick.
Oh, you know what? Anyway, I wanted to kind of get in and apologize to the people who are actually going to catch cancer and die from it because of stupidity in Texas House.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we can turn it around. Maybe this is the kind of thing that turns it around, Rick.
We can hope so. But I promise you, you don't want to watch someone struggling for every breath. And cervical cancer does metastasize to the lungs. That's how Stephen King, by the way, a damn good Democrat, that's how Stephen King's mother died.
Ugh.
Just, that and nothing else. It started with cervical cancer and went straight into her lungs. So, anyway, we'll get this overturned when we get some decent, right-thinking people back in the house again. But for right now, Bob, I'd like you to know that I'm very, very happy to know you're still out there swinging away. And as soon as I can get to my desk, I will help along with this issue that you mentioned earlier, the funding issue.
We do appreciate it, Rick. Guy James appreciates it.
No, I appreciate it. You're my
voice.
Thank
you very, very much.
You're my voice. Appreciate it, guys.
Proud to call you my friend.
Sorry for the wet blanket. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, Rick. Ain't no wet blanket. This is reality. This is the life that is lived. This is the life as it is lived, not the fantasy world that the right wing lives in. The bastards. Let's take a break. We'll come back to your phone calls. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is America's liberal voice. This is your voice. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com. A place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts
and will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Okay, we're back, and I want to go to keeping people waiting on the phones, and I hate to do that. But I gotta share some things with you and then write back to it. Our friend Teresa up in Canada writes, I was moved to tears by the story of the woman suffering from a brain tumor and being arrested for using marijuana to alleviate her symptoms. My father-in-law passed away a few years ago from an aggressive brain tumor. He suffered terribly, but was able to achieve some relief by smoking marijuana, which improved his appetite and helped with the pain. Unfortunately, the tumor took him from us quickly, but at least he had some measure of comfort from smoking pot. It also gave our family precious time to spend with him when he wasn't in pain and was able to join us for family dinners and conversation. The arrest of this poor woman is emblematic of the lack of humanity in the justice system in the U.S. It's all about politics, punishment, and big business. Punishment is big business. Teenagers sent to jail for life for minor drug offenses, 10-year-olds charged as adults, capital punishment, and torture boy Gonzalez can stand in front of the American people and say, yes, I'm responsible, mistakes were made. No, I'm not resigning. No, I'm not sorry. Teresa says, I grieve for America. And see, that's the question I have to... We have had from the Republican Party for yea, verily, lo, I tell thee, brothers and sisters, since the dawning of the age of Reagan, we have had foisted off on us this notion of personal responsibility. And you know what? I'm getting on board. I'm getting on the personal responsibility bandwagon. You know why? Because I want to dole out a little personal responsibility. You low-life, scum-sucking, miserable who voted for George W. Bush. Take personal responsibility. Own it, sunshine! Take personal responsibility, you Republican voters. Take responsibility for Angel Rach, who with a thing growing in her head is getting dragged over the coals by a Republican Justice Department gone absolutely hog wild, mad, crazy with a punishment fetish. The way this administration behaves, if it was between two slick covers, it'd have to go in the pornography section. Take personal responsibility while you're at it. For a guy named Richard Payee, to see, it's not just the marijuana. Yeah, that's just weed. That ain't even a, I mean, that's, you know, of course, because, you know, you smoke that marijuana, next thing you know, you're running the heroin up your arm, because it's a gateway drug. God, I hate him. He, quote, could conceivably go to prison for a longer stretch for peacefully but unlawfully purchasing 50 oxycodone pills, which he intended to sell to children waiting outside, and then stab the pharmacist. I'm sorry. I'm going to get letters about, oh, Bob, you're screwing this country when we start screaming. And there will be another email about, oh, Bob, why aren't you screaming about 9/11? These are people! In the land of the free and the home of the brave. So, Republicans, damn you! Damn you! Take responsibility. Take personal responsibility for what you, with your damned vote, by God, did to Angel Rach and to what you have done to Richard Payee. You damned Republicans. Take personal responsibility for once in your sad, sorry, hypocritical, stinking, miserable lives. Take responsibility! But they won't. not long till November 2008, and we're going to hear it again. We're going to hear it again and 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 again about how they're the Family Values Party. Where's your family values for a woman trying to raise two children and being tormented with your tax dollars because she's trying to stay alive? Where is your family value, Republicans, for a father of three busted for doing less than Rush Limbaugh did? Where is it? Luke joins us on the phones from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Even Bob.
I'm all better now.
Every time they do that, I ought to just have a nice big picture of Rush up there. Anytime somebody stands up for drug sentence and say, give me the same kind of sentence you gave Rush.
Yeah. Now, he didn't do what Rush did.
I know.
Rush engaged in a criminal conspiracy to obtain these drugs. He didn't even bother to forge the prescriptions.
Once upon a time,
Richard Pagey had real prescriptions.
Well, the thing that used to bug me was the number of pills he had legally made him a pusher.
They had to. He couldn't have taken them all.
Pills. And I think in like Florida where it was, I think it's just like 1,000. If you have over 1,000 pills, you're considered, you know, you have it for resale.
Well, apparently, according to the way that Mr. Pagey was sentenced, they weigh the pills.
Yeah. But like I say, the volume he had, he should have been tried as a drug dealer. Oh, well, you know how it is.
Yeah, I mean, he should be doing a Medellin cartel kind of a drug sentence.
Well, going on to something you were talking about earlier, about the security ball, let's just go ahead and put them in the beekeeper suit. I think it'd be much easier. Just this time we'll put a lock on them.
Well, that's why I said what I did. You know, the fundamentalists in this country are 50 years away tops from female circumcision.
Oh, God. You know, sometimes, like I was telling you, you just hear this thing and you're just sitting there going, what country am I in?
I know. It's like, because we attacked them, suddenly Afghanistan and fundamentalist Iraq has somehow rubbed off on us. And these people want to tell us, Luke, that we're going to lose our freedom over a dirty word on a television? We're losing it already.
Well, you know how it is. Apparently the fundy saw what was going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and said, oh, that's the part we like. Oh, God. The article I sent you today, that most people, I haven't heard anything even mentioned on it. The thing about the House passing the Freedom of Information Act upgrade and the Presidential Papers thing and all that. And the funny part was, when you're sitting there looking at them, they were passing those things by veto-proof.
What happens when it gets to the Senate.
Well, I know. But like I say, on some of those, what you saw was something. What was it passed today or late yesterday?
To debate the Iraq War was 89-9.
Well, there was something that passed yesterday or day before, or I can't remember what it was. It was like 60-38. And I was sitting there kind of going, you know, what was it? Oh, shoot. There's something the last 2 days, and it was like somebody said online and said, I'd really like to see that list of 38 of them and ask them, how can you do this? You know.
Very well paid to do so, yes.
I know, but, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, say, on some of these things, if they can force something up to his desk and he's threatened to veto, I'd put it on his desk and say, do it. Come on, sunshine, put your name on the line so we can sit there and hold it up and says, this is what he voted against. You know, we passed
it. Well, you know, he's threatened to veto the troop funding bill if there's any kind of so-called strings attached to the funding that requires, at some point that the troops be brought home. He's threatened to veto it. Fine, George, veto it. And we'll, you know, people like me, people like Malloy, all over the country will tell the nation that you just voted down funds for the troops.
That's right. George, you don't support the troops. We're going to do to you what you've been doing to us for the last 6 years.
Why do you hate the troops, George?
Yeah. Oh, I tell you what. The other one I sent you, I think, was pretty good. How did you like the thing about the guy that worked for Outdoor Life, Jim Zumbo?
Yeah, the big game hunter who just wandered into the crosshairs of the NRA.
Just because he was doing some story, I believe it was on hunting, and he talked to some of the local guide people, and said that, well, some of these people are showing up here with essentially what were assault rifles, and he essentially said, you don't need assault rifles to do this.
No, and back in my deer hunting days, there was always a guy who would show up, you know, with a banana clip.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you need that many shells, you don't need to be using a gun.
Well, yeah, right. You're as likely to hit it by throwing it as by shooting it. Because what would happen is we'd be sitting there just quiet as mice. You know, I mean, you know how it is out deer hunting. And some idiot one ridge away, you'd hear him on his four-wheeler. And then he'd come to a stop and you'd hear, blam, 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 blam. And my buddy'd look at me and go, melt the barrel, Daryl.
Well, you know,
but you'd see him later on, and he would never have a deer on the four wheeler.
Well, the one I always used to say, I've told people this before. I said the one I used to love was Robin Williams used to do the comedy routine. He said I believe you should be able to carry, you know, the armor piercing shells and the automatic weapons. First time I see the deer wearing the flak jacket.
Right. Fair enough.
You know, when I see the deer wearing a flak jacket, you've got every right to. Until then, don't talk to me about it. You know, if you ain't clever enough to figure out how to get one, you know, using either a bolt action or even a semi-automatic, you don't need to be out there. I don't care if you got the license; you don't need to be out there.
Well, I know I'll probably get some grief from the gun the gun owning liberals out there, but you don't shoot as well with a semi-auto.
No.
I mean, the whole point is to shoot once. You know, if you want to shoot a bunch of times, go to the gun range, melt the barrel, run through two or three boxes, whatever. Sight your scope in, but good hunting is about shooting once.
That's the theory, yeah. But you know how it is. Apparently, that's not the way they want to do it nowadays.
No, the National Republican Rifle Association didn't cotton to that opinion.
Oh God, I tell you what. But it's like you said, what was it? You talked about a minute ago about the purity balls. You talked about that. There's a Bill Maher clip. If you go over to Crooks and Liars, he was doing, you know, where they got the tapes of his new rules. And there's one of them, and it's about a year or two old. And he was talking about, you know, about the kids that were taking these pledges. And he said, yeah, said that has cut down. But he said, they found out in the study that, oh, by the way, oral sex is up four times, or something like that, and anal sex was even up higher.
Yeah, that's got to just do them, because it's the nature of kids that they'll fit, you know, looking for a loophole.
As he said, and they found two.
You're awful. You're just awful. You know that?
Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, like I say, when they're just sitting there, you just can't, you know, it's sitting there on the tee ball, on the pole. You just got to take the swing. You know how it is. You just can't get around.
I know. And, you know, you can see you're sitting there looking at the little boyfriend saying, I promised I wouldn't kiss you. As long as we don't kiss.
It's like, you know.
Brother.
Oh, God. Well, but you know what I mean? It's like this thing with Dobson and all these other things. It's like, dear Lord, it's like, what is, when, you know, I think Mar said one night, he said, when did the United States turn into the United States of Utah? He said, when did we all decide to go fundy all at once? You know, it's like...
Yeah, just mail me the sacred underwear and have done with it.
Oh, God. Put it on your head and go on down the road. You know how it is.
Exactly. Luke, thanks so much,
bye.
Man.
Bye.
Put it on your head and go on down the road. I love you guys. Well, that's it. Man, you made it fly by tonight, and special thanks to Harrison for his conversation with us. Sure enjoyed that. Quick email from Jeb. Have I said tonight how much I love you? I'd like to thank Bob, Agnes, Kitty, Puppy, and Cricket. It's okay to snicker at purity balls. You didn't realize it, but there was a whale of a lightning storm going on back at the home studios in Wild Wonderful, and Agnes handled it magnificently, as she always does, my producer. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, is our chief engineer of the Horn. Peter Godbold keeps up to date on things like purity balls and at the same time is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the archives, the streams, and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn and does a wonderful job of it. If you're listening, for instance, at iTunes, whom we're very glad added the program, the network, you're listening to it because Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org makes the stream go. Got a fundraiser going on. All the programs on the Horn happen because there are several thousand members of the affiliated, of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. No, time warp, sorry. They get up and they go out every day and they're building the American dream. By supporting this network, they're saving the American dream. Up next, Jeff Allen Wolf. Remember, it's a 24-hour stream. There's always something on the Horn. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Two more bodies were recovered from the 35W bridge ruins in Minneapolis today. They are the sixth and seventh victims confirmed dead since the August 1st evening commute disaster. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the self-admitted mastermind behind the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the murderer of Wall Street Journal reporter Danny Pearl and 13 other high-level detainees, have now been designated enemy combatants. The classification brings them closer to a U.S. military trial. Hundreds of thousands of Shiites in black robes are making their annual pilgrimage to a 1,200-year-old shrine in Baghdad. This year, the dirt roads are heavily guarded, and there are vendor booths along the way, offering food and bottled water. Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki met with Iranian leaders in Tehran. Iran says that the Iraqi violence would end if the U.S. would withdraw its troops. During this morning's press conference, President Bush gave a strong warning to the Iraqi Prime Minister that he would not warm up too much to Tehran. The declaration of a state of emergency has been called off in Pakistan. President Musharraf's critics say that he was testing the reaction of Pakistan's 165 million citizens. The Taliban has made a gesture to swap the female South Korean church workers it is holding hostage in exchange for any female Taliban prisoners Afghanistan is confining. The Taliban conceded, however, that it doesn't know how many that is. The U.S. and Afghanistan have refused to deal